Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, happy Pentecost.
We are almost there. In fact, when the show airs, it will indeed be Pentecost and the birth of the church. I think a lot of people just don't know that. Pentecost, we celebrate it, and red is worn, but it is considered the birth date of the church, with the coming down of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. And
so it's our feast.
It's our feast. It's the feast of everyone who has been baptized in Christ, and it's a very beautiful, it's a very happy one. I mean, isn't any time we celebrate a birth a very happy occasion? But, you know, if we look back, I was not here last week on the show, but if we look back just a few days, the church celebrated the World Communications Day, and we had two different speeches, if you will, some remarks by the Holy Father, and some very interesting remarks by Archbishop John Foley, who's the president of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. He was in London at the Notre Dame Center. He celebrated a Mass, had a homily, and gave a talk. And it was amazing, the world press that picked up his remarks. And he said that one of the problems that we face in the world today is religious illiteracy. And he said all types of nonsense can be communicated, not so much out of malice, although that can occur, as out of ignorance. And he said, as communicators, each one of us has an obligation to be accurate and to help others to be accurate. And he said, this is not so much to evangelize or even catechize, but to make sure that all those who write or broadcast or blog have accurate information and do not consciously or unconsciously disseminate misinformation. And you and I could dedicate a 60-minute show just to those
because
lines.
Because there have been so many examples of it.
Of exactly what he's talking about, of the nonsense, of leading people astray, whether you simply have ignorance because you don't know your subject matter. And so therefore you write incorrectly about something, or you're interviewing someone, you don't know them or the subject matter, you don't know the questions, you don't ask the right questions. So then last Sunday, the Communications Day itself, the Pope's remarks, when I read this one particular sentence, I was just absolutely stunned. And it's part also from his message for World Communications Day. He wrote, often the media exalt violence and trivialize sexuality. And then he asked, and this is mind-boggling, how could one explain this so-called entertainment to the countless innocent young people who actually suffer violence, exploitation, and abuse? And that's a question you kind of just want to stop talking right now, think about it. Good.
And also going back to what Archbishop Foley said, I remember a few years ago when I was in Zambia listening to something on one of the international radio stations that was basically anti-Catholic, but not because the presenter had intended it to be anti-Catholic. It was just that it was sloppy journalism, and he himself was a Muslim, so he was writing about Catholicism from his point of view,
sure,
without putting the necessary work into his presentation. So he didn't intend it to be against the church, but that was the way it turned out. When I pointed it out to the radio station, I got a lovely apology, and they did a program to counteract that, because they hadn't intended what
for
came
it to
out
to be malicious or anything. No, and you do have people who intend it. And the problem is, if you look at today, take a newspaper that writes something that is inaccurate, even if not malicious, but inaccurate. When they issue the apology or the correction, if you will, very rarely is a paper, certainly in my country, going to use the word apology. But they will write down correction. And it's in print so small, and it gets lost on page 5. Nobody sees the correction and or apology, but they do remember the inaccurate information
they've
gotten.
Well, even when the apology comes out, the damage has already been done.
It has. It has. Because the people are going to remember what they first heard.
You remember the bad news rather than the good news.
You really, really do. So all of us have a duty. And I would just appeal again to listeners who are parents, who are educators, who are responsible for young people. Start out young. Help them know if they grow up with the right values in their family, they're going to know how to recognize the wrong values when they turn on a radio station, turn on the TV, or read something.
But I was just thinking this morning, for instance, I'm rereading a book that my father gave to me, when I was about 11 or 12. It's White Fang by Jack London.
Oh, sure.
Which is a wonderful book. And I'm just reading it and appreciating it so much more now that I can read it as an adult. But I was thinking what a treasure it was that virtually every book that my father and I read, we were able to swap with each other.
Sure.
So I read his books and
those
he read
were the
mine.
Days, right.
And they were so wholesome.
That's the key word here. I think you've just hit on it, wholesome. And that is missing from so many things, or the wholesome ones certainly don't get the publicity that the unwholesome books, blogs, movies, etc. get. No, anyway, so that's World Communications Day. The Pope's message, we should say, certainly is it's online. They just have to go to the Holy Father and look up messages and Communications Day and read it. So the week was basically quiet, too, other than that. The Pope had returned on Friday evening from Castel Gandolfo and, of course, Sunday the Angelus. Monday there was a big event in the Vatican. The Vatican and Israel resumed talks after a five-year absence between the two commissions to talk about unsettled property and tax issues. Now, the two signed what was known as the Fundamental Agreement in 1993, and that regulated many, many things in their relations, including tax matters, property matters, legal matters. And it was only in 1994 then that they declared diplomatic relations, but there have been a few sticky points since 1993. The Vatican has tried to go to the table in the past, in March. It was the Israelis to call off that meeting. They finally did sit down. Now, a communique of like two sentences was issued, and it said that it was a brief joint communique between the two sides, and said, of course, the talks took place in an atmosphere of cordiality, mutual understanding, and goodwill, and produced important progress. Now, that's interesting, because then you have the newspapers coming out with people on the two sides that they've interviewed who said, like, we got nowhere. So what is the truth somewhere in between we got nowhere and important progress? I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait.
The fact that they're just talking
is a step in the right direction. Talking,
yes,
versus not talking, it certainly is. But two of the issues at stake, this is really interesting. Before Israel was created in 1948, the Vatican, all the buildings and property that the church owned, this was tax-exempt, it was tax-free. And they are simply asking that status be continued, and the Israelis apparently do not want to do that. They are asking the church to pay taxes. So that's issue number one. And then there's a question of disputed church properties, some of which, of course, were occupied or actually seized. Now, the church is asking that this issue of these disputed properties be settled properly in court under due process of law. And Israel simply wants to settle the matter through political agreements. So we shall see where all of this goes. The next meeting is scheduled to be in December. By the way, there was another interesting thing this week. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners, through whatever the source, either heard or read about the Wednesday general audience. Now, last Wednesday, the Pope had been back only 2 days from Brazil. He was in Castel Gandolfo. He did not hold the general audience, but he did Wednesday, the 23rd of May, and he reviewed, as popes have always done after a trip, he reviewed his trip to Brazil. So Wednesday, he talked about the rich pre-Columbian traditions and the many influences from Europe and other continents. And he did add, and he didn't say this in Brazil, he said, of course, remembrance of a glorious past cannot ignore the shadows that accompanied the work of evangelization on the Latin American continent, the suffering and injustices inflicted by the colonizers on the indigenous peoples, whose fundamental human rights were often trampled underfoot. And he said, but the obligatory mention of those unjustifiable crimes, condemned even at the time by missionaries, and he named several of them, must not prevent us from recognizing with gratitude the marvelous work achieved by divine grace among those peoples over the course of the centuries. So that was very interesting. That was also picked up enormously by the, all you have to do is go online, and his Wednesday audience, which is not picked up by a lot of the secular press on Wednesdays. Your news agencies, yes, but a lot of the secular press may not do it. They sure picked it up this past week. So, but that's good.
And on that note, we look forward to
the
coming
week
of the Holy Spirit.
To the coming of the Holy Spirit and our next meeting in the studio.
Definitely.